So good to see everybody present with us this morning. We have visitors that weren't visitors, and visitors that are visitors, and those that have traveled a long way all come down, and it's so good to see each and every one. We've had a birthday among one of the members of our congregation, turned 90 years old, and that is a feat. I told her she does not look 90 years old. I told her I think I feel 90 years old, but she does not look 90 years old. And so that's our sister Mamie. So good to see her. So good to have Dean and Larie with us. Enjoy every time they come down. I'm going to introduce a lesson to you this morning, and it's not really about necessarily a historical lessons, how advancements in history have been viewed. But I want to start with this. Because of the current situation of the day, and I want us to consider some things. When we look back in history, the printing press was considered a miraculous thing by some, but also scandalous and cheapening of knowledge by others. When we think about the telephone, the public found it unnatural and eerie, many of them did. And they believed that it was just distrustful and that this technology did not really equate with talking to someone in person. The automobile caused a lot of chaos, a lot of trouble. There really were no rules that were in place as far as the highway was concerned. Whenever automobiles were first released, a lot of people died. Television. Parents worried that it would rot the kids' brains. Computer, touted as a boon for business, others saw it as an evil overlord. I will tell you that I found it to be, in many cases, in my past life, an evil overlord in connection with business. Social media completely changed communication and social interaction, has been attributed with misinformation, damaging mental health, and sowing political division. And that's the way that advances in history have taken place in technology and so forth. And that's always going to be the case no matter what it is, because any change, people just don't like change. And that's just the fact of the matter. But we have to realize, in connection with each and every one of these things, that in and of themselves, they're benign. It's just like a firearm. Is a firearm itself, a gun, a firearm, is it evil? Well, it has been used to protect. It has been used to save lives. It has been used to take lives. It's not the thing that is good or evil. It is the one behind it. Same thing with the printing press. The first movable type printing that took place was the Gutenberg Bible. But on a printing press also, Mein Kampf was printed by Adolf Hitler. The printing press was benign. Telephones have saved lives, given warning in advance of some disaster and so forth. It has also been used to spread lies and to cause terror, ultimately death with people. Automobiles used to rush people to the hospital. Carry gospel preachers to meetings, used to run over people and kill them. Television. It's not the television that's wrong. It's the parents that don't see how that it is used. And that's how kids' brains and people's brains and all people who look at it and so forth, their brains become rot. It's the use of it, the proper or improper. Computers, same thing. I've studied online with people. There have been those that have been baptized for the remission of their sins that I've never met face to face. Members of a local congregation now used a computer to do that. We talked back and forth. Social media, in and of itself, is not wrong, but boy, you look at the trash that is there. It's caused by the people that give the input to it. And so we see, of course, how advancements in history are taking place. Now, what I want to do this morning is for you to meet Artificial AI. And he is coming upon us, already present, already rapid, and as a matter of fact, there are aspects of it that have been taking place for quite a few years. And we need to be aware of this because of what is coming down the pike. And I want to make some points concerning Artie in connection with his use. In and of itself, I believe that he is benign. But the use of how artificial is going to be used is going to be the determining factor of whether or not it produces that which is good or it produces that which is evil. Artie holds every educational degree and vocational certification that exists on the face of this earth. Warren, I'm sorry, but you can go to Artie and find out how to fix a plumbing problem. You can do that. Now, whether the person can do it right or not, that's a different matter. But they can be told accurately how to do that. And the same thing with doctors and the same thing with lawyers and so forth. And I don't care what it is. Everything that is known is out there to this point. Now, we're going to be talking about the slant in connection with some of these things. But the fact is that it is all-encompassing as far as the aspect of knowledge is concerned, man's knowledge, at least from a certain point of view. We also see that he knows how to perform all tasks. He has the answers for all religious, financial, political, moral, and moral questions, and he has it immediately. We'll be talking about some of the dangers of that in just a moment. And it's because of what Artie actually is. And so we'll talk about that as we go on. It's gender fluid. There was a young woman that was interviewed by a local TV station. I believe it was Thursday I was watching. Not by a local TV station, but a cable TV network. And she was interviewed. And she proclaimed, I am the wife of Mangione, the one that killed the UnitedHealthcare CEO. I'm now his wife. We have planned out our life. We've planned out our kids' lives and their names and so forth, and I'm married to him. And she did that through artificial intelligence. And so it's about relationships. We'll talk more about that as we go on also, these relationships that are out there that are not true, but they're being viewed that way. Therein lies a problem. Artificial intelligence is presented as being able to make human existence better. And I will tell you that I believe that there will be some situations where that is true. I'll just use the aspect of the medical field. There will be, because of this compilation of knowledge that is not just from one source, but from around the world, of everything, all the experiences and the tests and the science and everything that goes behind it, that will end up saving people's lives. But it can also lead to something else, and that is disaster. Artificial intelligence is a human-designed switch, and if used wrongly, it turns off an individual's brain. Therein is the danger of this. Again, it's not the element itself, but again, how it's used and how it's viewed, and what is behind artificial intelligence. The ones writing the code, it didn't just appear upon its own. It is not an entity that is sentient. And there are words that are used in connection with, it is learning as time goes on, only because of inputs that are made by humans. That's the only way that it can be. And so it can be used, and I think many are falling into this trap concerning artificial intelligence, is turning off the brain. And whatever is said then by artificial intelligence has to be the truth and needs to be accepted. And that's the way the world views it, because we all know whatever's on the internet has to be truth, or else it wouldn't be on the internet, right? And we look at artificial intelligence very well maybe our future ruler, the determiner of life and death. You know, that is already taking place in certain countries in the world today. This individual is costing too much to keep them alive. We have government medical expenses covered and so forth, and it's not proper for us to use these medical expenses to keep this individual alive. And so it goes back to a human determination. It could be that you cannot buy or sell at some point in time. Again, we don't know. It could be that you fall from grace because of a belief that you have. And the determiner, artificial intelligence, may be the ruler that says, as it was in the days of the Caesars, either thumbs up or thumbs down. You live or you die. Artificial intelligence has to be viewed as temporal. It is of this world. It is human. And it has to be viewed as artificial. It can be used and will be used for good. I'm certain of that. There'll be some things that will come forth from this that I don't believe that we've ever dreamed of being able to achieve. Savings of life and so forth that are out there because of diseases that have never been understood before. Now they've become understood. And so there'll be good things, but there are also going to be things that I believe, as we look at this, it will take so many down the road and especially away from somebody else that we need to meet. And so because of that, I want to introduce someone else. Meet the Lord. Meet the Lord. We get through with all of the technology and everything. Again, it is just an element, a substance, a thing that is out there. And it is the human behind all of that, or the humans behind all of that, that either make it worthwhile and good or else makes it that which is despicable and that which is sinful. So let's meet the Lord in connection with these things. First of all, He knows all because He is all. Artificial intelligence doesn't know all. It knows a lot about this world. It can regurgitate a lot about religion and so forth, but it doesn't know all. When we look in 1 John 3, 18 through 21, my little children, let us not love in word or in deed, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. What John is saying here is, if our heart condemns us and you don't want to be condemned, you look to God's understanding. You look to His knowledge, your will, His will. And then you make your will follow His will. And because of that, then you can be having confidence toward God because you're not walking in your own way, but rather you're walking in the way of the Lord. He knows all. There is no one individual that knows all. There is no conglomeration of people that know all. There is no full knowledge of all that are in the world. And John speaks to that, of course, in 1 John 2 and verse 16, all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. But when we look to Christ Jesus, when we meet the Lord in the way that I'm talking about today, He knows all. And it is the all that we need. Not that we think that we need, but the all that we absolutely need. When we meet the Lord, He knows how to perform all tasks. When we look over in Luke 4, verses 8 through 13, this is whenever Jesus comes into Nazareth, where He was raised. And He enters into a synagogue there, and there's given to Him a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And He turns to the passage, and He begins to read. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The Lord knows how to perform all tasks, and He's not talking here about physical healing. He's talking about the spiritual. The physical is no part of this context. He's talking about those that need to come to the Lord, and He knows how to perform those tasks because it was His purpose in coming to perform those tasks to bring people to the Lord and to proclaim then that acceptable, that year of salvation, talking about, of course, a period of time, not a day or a year, but the period of time in which now salvation is offered through Him. We also see when we look over in Mark 7, verse 37, connection with His healing, that the people that were standing around were astonished at the healing that He had done. He said, "He has done all things well. He makes both deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The things that Jesus did in healing, there was no debate about it. They were healed. It was supernatural. It was done, and it was done well. And what that means is absolutely most excellent to the perfection. And so meet the Lord because He knows how to perform all tasks, and especially that which is in connection with your soul. Meet the Lord because He has the answers for all questions. As Jesus was teaching in Luke the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 15, one of the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Evidently, there was a problem in the family. One brother wanted more or less, or rather more than the other brother wanted, and that brother wanted more than what the other one had. And so you give instruction then to my brother to treat me right in connection with the inheritance. Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbiter over you?" Jesus is saying, I didn't come for that purpose. That's not the point. You're missing the point of my purpose, the reason that I am here. Take heed, he says, here is the purpose that I came to. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses, but rather in the abundance of what God gives them. And that's the point that he makes here in this particular passage. We see over in John 6, 67 through 69, a chapter in which there were those that claimed to be believers in God, believers in Christ Jesus, disciples of him. And Jesus began teaching, and he understood it would come a time, and now was the time, for a separation to be made. The disciples that follow after me need to adhere to the things that I teach. And he taught some hard things. He told them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot see life eternal. And to a Jew, can you imagine how repulsive that was to think about eating the flesh of a human being? They didn't even eat the flesh of raw animals, much less human beings. Jesus wasn't talking about the Lord's Supper, but he was talking about you need to take me in completely and totally. And because of that, there were many that turned away from the Lord at that time and followed him no more. And when we see in John 6, 67 through 69, Jesus then says to the 12 that are present, do you also want to go away? Peter speaks up and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has the questions for all in connection with that which is important in this life. And he has all the answers. It's not going to be found on AI. That's going to be a grouping of many different ideas that come out. And it will possibly even one day be delineated down into one answer, but that answer cannot be right because it's not coming from God, it's coming from man. But with God, it is going to be right. And not only that, he has all the answers for all questions to be taken in concept and substance unto application. And what I mean by that is that we take it in the concept in which it is given, and we make an application in our life. We look over in 1 Timothy 4, 15 through 16. Paul tells Timothy, meditate on these things, that is the word of God, the things that he just got through speaking. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing you will both save yourself and those who hear you. This is the application of those concepts that are given by God. Not just an answer that is puked out from something that is not even real, but from that which is the living word of God that abides forever. We think about this when we look over in Hebrews 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant, God says, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Bear with me a moment. I don't have a physical Bible up here. I'm getting where I cannot turn. So bear with me on that. But I will tell you, I've turned them for years. I have done that. And what is happening, I believe, because of AI, because of the technology that we have right now, there is not a retention of truth in people's mind because they don't see it on the page. I remember back in 1967. Here's a confession for you. I used to watch Star Trek. And I enjoyed that show for the most part. There were some things on it that were repulsive. But there was one episode where Captain Kirk was about to be court-martialed. And there was a suggestion made of a lawyer that was going to represent him. And the lawyer, while Kirk was gone, goes into Kirk's cell, domicile, whatever it was. And inside where Kirk was staying were hundreds of books. And he walks in, Kirk does, and says, what is this? He says, it's books. That's what the lawyer, it's books. Have you ever heard of a book? He says, yes. He says, don't you like books? Kirk said, yes. He says, but they take up too much room. He says, books. Books are what matter. Books are something that you take, that you can have, that you can, by which in use, proper use of them, you can call retention to your mind of what it is that you have read. And he makes a wonderful speech in connection with it. I'm afraid that we may become too electronic. Again, I have to confess, I'm having a hard time turning pages, so I'm using some of the electronic things. But in the past, and for many years, I've took the book. I could tell you, whenever I would think about a passage of Scripture, what paragraph it was in, on what side of the page it was on, I could find it even if I couldn't remember the exact passage because it was in that particular area. And that, I think, ties in with this thought, I will write them on their heart and I will be their God and they shall be my people. So easy to take AI and just ask a question, let it pop it out, the answer, and we just take it face value there, but without retention. I'm going to urge you, even though I'm a terrible example right now because of my physical problems, take the book in hand. Take it in hand and study from it. Mark it up. Make notations in it. On the back pages, you see something that you want to remember, write down that passage so that you will have it, so you can readily turn there. Do that. Take the book. Use it, but not only take the book, apply it to your life, the concepts that are in it. We also see that in meeting the Lord, He is our spiritual brother. The relationship that I talked about with that young woman who is married to that accused murderer, she has created a whole life that is not real. And she was so happy and telling everybody about that relationship that she had with that accused individual, but it wasn't real. And I will tell you that I believe that AI is going to be used to create relationships with the Lord that aren't real. Be those that people will take in because AI said so. But when we look to Christ Jesus and we look in His book, we understand that He is our spiritual brother. When we look over at Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 14, it says concerning Jesus, it was fitting for Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things and bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Drop down to verse 11. He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, here I am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same. Our Lord became flesh. And because of that, there was a relationship that was established. But He was the only one that became flesh that could do what He did, and that was offer Himself for the salvation of our souls. It doesn't matter how many people tried to do that, they couldn't do it because they were not the anointed one, the Christ. Over in Romans 8, verses 6 and 17, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God. And understand this, joint heirs with Christ. What does that make Christ to us? Our brother. Is it a real relationship? Now, who here has ever seen Jesus Christ in the flesh? No one. Who here has ever seen Jesus Christ in the Spirit? I'm going to say no one. But we see Christ Jesus in the Spirit through the Word. And what we see there is a brother, a joint heir with Him. Can you fathom how important that is? That the one that died for us is offering brotherhood with Him. How in the world can that be? He was perfect. I am not. He was sinless. I am not. And yet He is saying here, through Paul, I will be your brother. How wonderful that. And that's a true relationship. And one that will stand the test of time, because time will be no more, and it will stand the test of eternity for those that are found righteous before Him. In meeting the Lord, He makes human existence better. And that is the claim. And again, I'm going to say that AI in some situations will make human existence better. But when we look over at James 1 and verse 17, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Have you ever wished for something to take place in your life, and it turned out that you didn't get it, and then you saw the outcome of it, that if you had got yourself involved in that, it would have been a disaster? I think that we have all been in that situation, have we not? But let me tell you what, there is no disaster as an end of what is the gift of God that comes from Him. It's absolute, it is perfect, it is pure, and it is in no way problematic, but will always be that which is for our benefit. We think about meeting the Lord, and He is not the switch to turn off the brains of those that follow Him, but He is the switch that turns on the brains to follow Him. Think about this from Ephesians 1, 17 through 21. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And it's not subjective. It is not put together by humans. Someone said, oh, humans wrote the Bible. No, they wrote down the words that God gave them. The inspired wrote down the breathed out words of God, theopneustos, as we see in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. For every scripture inspired of God is profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the individual may be complete in Christ Jesus and fully equipped through His word. And so then He says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And there is no hope that can be expressed through technology other than its quote of that which is truth. That you may know the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And you look at that and you think about what this earth provides. And it cannot provide what Christ has provided for us, nor can anything other than His word provide us that. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? The salvation, eternal salvation of the soul. According to the working of His mighty power, in which He went to the cross, died, and then rose again the third day, thereby ratifying that He truly is the Christ. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of heavenly places, in which He is now working as our advocate, our intercessor, and our mediator. For above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Artificial pales in comparison, in connection with what He does for the brain. Oh, people will learn a lot of things. They will learn a lot of things. There'll be some things that will be learned that will be good. A lot of things that will be learned that will be bad. But what Christ teaches is that which is true and pure. And it teaches that which sanctifies. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Meet the Lord, He is ruler of all. No matter what comes upon us because of AI and so forth, it may be the determiner of life and death. We see where the true determiner of life and death is, and that's in Christ Jesus. Meet the Lord. Romans 10, 12 through 13, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon Him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's not just lip service. Lord, Lord. We have that in Matthew 7, 21, don't we? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name? Have we not cast out devils in Your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in Your name? And the Lord will say to them, depart from me that work iniquity, I never knew you. And so when we look back, He is truly the Lord. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And I will tell you, those words ring true even today, even though it was written during the Mosaical period of time. There has to be that choice that is made. People have already made the choice in connection with, I will follow artificial. He will be my Lord. He will be my Savior, but there is no salvation through it. There is no salvation. The Lord also is not that which is temporal or artificial. He is real and He is eternal. And so Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 3, 13 through 16, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Let me just make a comment. I love to watch some of these shows where forensics are used. I'll just be honest with you. I enjoy watching how they figure out how things are done. And do you know, and I think this speaks to God, it is almost impossible to destroy DNA. It is just about impossible to destroy DNA. And the reason being is that contained within that capsule of that which is microscopic is the true code of life that is sent forth by God. And it will last, and it will always be there, and it until time and this temporal existence is no more. And he says that you keep the commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. Why? Because he is life, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, not any man nor any computer program. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. President Putin and Chairman Xi of Russia and relative and China, relatively speaking, are making plans so that they will live forever. Doctors will just change out the parts that begin to wear out, and they will never die, and they will have then life eternal here upon this earth. Oh, how sorely wrong they are. How sorely wrong they are. Because the only one that has that life is Christ Jesus. His word and his information also is real. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Artie doesn't supply truth. He supplies relative truth. And the reason being is because those that are writing his algorithms, they're human. They're not God. And so I ask you this morning, who will you look to? Sandy, come on. Who is it that you will look to? We look in Isaiah 31 and verse 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah gave instruction to the people that were thinking that when the destruction of Jerusalem would take place and Babylon would march in, that there was going to be protection. It was going to be the armies that they put together, or the fleeing unto Egypt would save them. But the only salvation was going to be in the Lord. And that's the thing in connection with artificial AI. He is not salvation and he is not protection. We can use him for good, or we can use him for our disaster. Isaiah 45, verse 22 through 24, look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. And those that are crying out, there is no God, and don't you offer me your salvation, will one day bend the knee and say, my Lord and my God. It will be God's determination if it is too late. I believe that it will be. Hebrews 9, verse 26, is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And shall not the word that has gone out of my mouth shall not return to me void? He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. And that is taking place in our world today. People that are incensed against the Lord and against his word. But there we have artificial for you. We can use him, I think, for our benefit. We can use him for our destruction. It remains to be seen how he is going to be mostly used. But I will tell you, because of 1 John 2 and verse 16, all that is in the world, lust, flesh, pride of life, lust the eyes. That human history would say that artificial is going to be used for destruction. Let us be careful, though, and if we use them, let's use them properly. Will you come to the Lord if you're not a child of God this morning? Will you be obedient to His will? Will you hear what He has to say? And it's not a checkbox that I'm talking about here, but will you open your heart to receive the word of the Lord, or will you look to some other source, such as artificial? Will you then, upon hearing that word, believe it? Will it cause you to have faith in the one true and living God? It's not a checkbox, but will it result in that? Hebrews 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Will you then have the humility to say, man doesn't know all, and I don't know all, and I need a Savior. I need to repent and turn to God. Acts 3 and verse 19, just as Peter called for. Will you make confession of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, and not just with lip service, but with determination and also with commitment? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that's exactly what the Ethiopian nobleman said in Acts 8, chapter verse 37. Will you be baptized for remission of your sins? Well, what's in the water? It doesn't matter what's in the water. It's what God says and the purpose for which you go down into the water, that concept that is there. Will you make that application in your life? You not checking the box, but an overall aspect of faith and repentance or change of mind. Then those of us that are here, who are we going to trust? Oh, there's going to be a lot of information is out. There's going to be even more information that is out there. And we can take the true faith that we have in God and get it turned completely upside down by what is going to be presented and what is presented already in this world. Will you look to God? Will you meet the Lord? If there are those we can help in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?